Hey everyone, welcome back. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and I'm Jennifer Richmond. I'm glad you're here joining me live on YouTube, woohoo! Or live on Facebook, yay! Or listening later on the recording, good for you also. Whatever it is, whenever you're joining me, I'm glad you're here. Today we will cover lesson 3, days 9 and 10, which are the last 2 days of the lesson. We always combine those in when I do the teaching time, because 10 is a create and share day, and it's just all about you bringing together your thoughts and ideas about the study that you've been through over the last 10 days, and then creating something about that, and then getting it out and sharing it. So we're going to start that in just a quick second. Before I do, have a question for you. I've been thinking about coloring my hair. Like, no, not pumpkin, but like maybe that color. I don't know. I've just been really thinking about it. So what do you guys think I should do? Think I should color my hair? All right. Vote in the comments below. You let me know. What do you think? Should I go red? I'm thinking like a dark brown, auburny red color. Just for, you know what? It's hair. I'm thinking. I don't know. So do you think I'll chicken out? What color do you think I should get my hair? Anyway, now I'm talking about my hair. I'm fussing with it now. Anyway, tell me in the comments below if you think I should change my hair color or not. Purple? Pink? No. I wouldn't do that. But maybe auburn? You have to stay tuned for the next video to find out if I color my hair or not. Anyway, let's get started on our Bible study. Grab your Bible, grab your lesson. It's over on jennifergrichmond.com. You can download the lessons right there and be a part of this study together with me. If you're sitting with a group of friends right now and you're all going, what? She's going to color her hair or not? I want to hear from all of you people. Take a picture of yourselves and hold up a sign telling me what color you think I should go and do my hair, if I should keep it the same and don't mess with it. And then share that picture on Instagram with the hashtag Jennifer's hair. No, that's not a good hashtag. What's a good hashtag? I don't know. Come up with a good hashtag and then tag me in it on Instagram or Facebook. Hashtag, what color should I do my, no, what, no, I don't know. Maybe by the end of the video, I'll come up with one. Anyway, like I said, we have a very fun Bible study. Who knew we were going to talk about my hair color today? All right, let's get started. We're going to pray, and then we're going to actually get started on our Bible study. Here we go. Pray. Grab hands around your circle or just join hands with me right now. Let's go before the Father. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word. It's fun. It's alive. It's powerful. It brings us great joy. And knowing you just makes all the difference in everything. Thank you for the people listening to my voice and the love that they have for you and your word. I pray a hand of blessing on all of us today now as we get into your word. And everyone said, Alleluia. Amen. All right. Let's head on over to the lesson. There it is. Hi. Let me get my face down here a little bit out of the way. And there you can see me a little bit better that way as well. I'm going to slide over. Okay, here we go. Lesson 3, day 9. Let's go ahead and recite. Can you do it from memory yet? How are you doing on that? I want to hear from you if you've got it memorized. Give me a shout out today on Instagram or on Facebook with a big yay me. I did it. I got my verse memorized, and record a video and upload it and let me hear that verse. And maybe you even got your kids involved and you can say your memory verse with your kids as well. That's a pretty big deal. Here we go. Acts 4, 11 through 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4, 11 through 12. Guess what? Our writing today is actually the same verse. You are finishing your write the word pages at the very end of your lesson, and you are adding these last two verses as we go. And here's our reading for the day. Acts 4, 18 through 22. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Wow. All right. Here we go. Number one, what order have the religious leaders given to the disciples? Well, pretty simple there, right? You have the answer. Of course, if you're watching me live, you won't be able to pause and write your answers down, but I always encourage you to do your own thinking on these and write your own answers down, but pretty simple one here. To not speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Well, what order had Jesus given to the disciples? It was in Acts 1:8. Can you still do it from memory? Pretty simple. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. They're starting here. So who's going to win here? Jesus is. They're going to obey Jesus on this one, right? Let's take a look at Amos 3:8. Peter and Peter's response to the Sanhedrin. What point is Peter making? Take a look at Amos 3:8. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? The lion from the tribe of Judah is the prophecy that this is making reference to. And that is Jesus, the tribe of Judah. And the Lord God has spoken. Indeed, he has. He anointed his own son and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And who can but prophesy? When you hear from the Lord God Almighty, you're going to be quiet about it? I don't think so. They aren't, are they? All right. So Peter's response, how can we not speak? You know, we've heard from the Lord God Almighty, we're going to speak. The lion from the tribe of Judah has roared. He has spoken, and we will speak. So why did the leaders decide to let them go? What ends up being that tipping point and why they decide? Well, all these people are there. And what are the people doing? I feel a little bit like that Dora the Explorer show. Remember, she would ask the audience through the camera and the audience would reply, right? So I kind of feel like her. Why? Because the people were praising God. This miracle was very evident. And so they couldn't go up against so many people when the miracle was just so plain and obvious in front of everyone. All right. Do the leaders deny the miracle? No, they don't. They don't deny the miracle at all. What then do they deny? Let's go back to the scripture and see. They called them, charged them not to speak. John answered, Peter answered them. And we can't but speak on this. And when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign was performed was more than 40 years old. So what do they deny? They deny the name of Jesus. They deny the apostles to be able to speak in the name of Jesus. They deny that it's from God Almighty and that Jesus is the Messiah, ultimately. So Luke concludes this episode with more details about the man who was healed. What information do we get? And why do you think Luke includes this? This is kind of a simple facts, and then your thoughts and opinions on this. Why do you think he includes this little information? He says he was more than 40 years old, this man who was healed. And if you read earlier back in this account, do you remember what he says, that he had been this way since birth? Okay, so he's over 40, he's not quite 50 then, and he's been this way since birth. Why do you think Luke includes that detail? Well, I think it's important, number one, because Luke's a doctor. And so as a doctor, maybe he had some medical knowledge about the situation and knew this guy wasn't faking it, knew this was a serious actual infirmity that he was healed from. This wasn't just something that your body's going to heal itself anyway in a few days. And so, honestly, I'll just say something real quick here about claiming miracles and how, thank God, Jesus healed me and things like that. Unless you grew another lung, God didn't heal you from your cough. Your body got up and over it. Unless your nose completely changed, you didn't grow another nose. It's not a miracle. It's your body doing its work. Miraculous, yes, but is that overstating it? Yeah, I think we need to be careful how much we use the word this or that is a miracle in my life. Did you pray that you would be healed and that maybe your cough wouldn't last long so you could go back to work sooner, and God answered and your body kicked into gear and it healed? Absolutely. Should you give praise and glory to God for that? Absolutely. Is it a miracle? I'm not going to say it's a miracle. Not going to say that. As John Christ would say, I'm not going to pray for that. No, I'll pray for that. If someone comes and says, I need to get back to work and I'm just really sick, absolutely lay hands and pray for healing. But let's be careful how we use the word miracles. I believe that Luke includes the fact that he has been crippled since birth so that we really get the idea of what a true miracle is. I mean, there's things that God does that are amazing and in terms of how our body can heal. And then there's things that God does that are flat out miraculous because there was no other explanation, but God supernaturally intervened. So when we use the word miracle, too often it diminishes the true value of God actually doing a miracle. So that's all. That's my only admonition on there is just be careful about how often we claim something's a miracle. All right. A little side note there. Free of charge. All right. So number seven. And this will take a little bit more time and in our lesson here today, which is a short lesson, by the way, but the seven is going to take a little bit more time. Sometime after this encounter, Peter wrote two epistles or letters to the church. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 in light of this confrontation with the religious leaders. What does Peter admonish all believers to do? How might this look in your life today in light of American policies that might be contrary to the gospel? Let's take a look at 1 Peter 2. A living stone and a holy people is a good summary there at the very opening of this epistle. So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. I'm going to pause right there. Are you hearing the echoes of Peter's first sermon here? What did he say in this first big, powerful sermon to the religious leaders? He confronts them and says that Jesus was the cornerstone, the capstone, right? And they were the builders that were supposed to lay that foundation and build it up so that he would be the capstone, and they laid the capstone aside. So I just love how Peter brings it back into his epistle here. So you yourselves, continuing on here at verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Another really good, key, important point there, because what earlier had Peter said in his sermon earlier, he said that it was God's predestination that planned for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Even though they needed to repent of the sin of crucifying him, it was still part of what God had destined and what had planned to take place. And he goes on here in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Why? Because they crucified Jesus. And he came back and said, I forgive you. You repent, be baptized, and you'll be in part of this family again in right standing. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, and what has Peter just been going through right now in our story in Acts, so he's reflecting again back on this moment, that they may see your what? Your good deeds. What did he specifically call his miracle? The miracle performed through the name of Jesus. He said, you're going to call this good deed bad? He says, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. But this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one who endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's a lot, but I want us to think through that. How does Peter then engage? How is he living an example of this as he's engaging before these leaders? It's not disrespectful, he's honoring them, right? He's still proclaiming the truth, but he's respectful. He's honoring. He's righteous in how he proclaims, so that he continues to do good deeds, not evil deeds. So how might this look like today in light of American policies that might be contrary to the gospel? Right now in America, it's still legal to abort a baby, right? And obviously that's a moral, horrific injustice and a terrible sin against God and God's creation. Right now in America, it's acceptable for homosexuality to be accepted as normal, which goes against God of creation. Right now, it's normal in America to do many things that are completely against the morality, the truth of what God has called us to, the righteous living that he's called us to. So should we be out there protesting and marching and standing against immorality? I want you to think about that. What does that look like in your life to live in America, as lost as America is, troubled as America is, and all the policies where good is bad and bad is good, where we've got men claiming to be women who are competing against other women in contests across the globe and winning? We have got a depraved society. Now, how are we going to live? How are we going to really truly fulfill the gospel? How are we going to actually fulfill Acts 1:8? To be God's witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How are we going to do it in our own backyard, in our own homes, in our own families, with our own friends who disagree with the truth and with the righteous living that the Bible requires of us, that God himself requires? All right. Think about that. Share your thoughts. This is kind of a challenging one today, I know. We're going to shift gears in just a minute to our create and share. It's going to be a big shift, but I want you to take some time to stop here and think about that before you move on. All right. So if you're watching live, we're just going to go ahead and do this shift right now. You won't have a lot of time to think about it, but go back through and fill in your answers in just a minute to that. And let's go ahead and move on to our final day, and I'll just read this with you, and then I'll let you go, and you can fill in your answers and start sharing it. So create and share. Over and again in these past days of our lesson, we have heard of the power of the name of Jesus. Some of the most powerful psalms, hymns, and worship songs that have ever been written were centered on the power of the name of Jesus. Using a concordance online, a complete reference book, or the one right there in the back of your Bible, look up the word name in the Psalms. Read several, then select one that particularly speaks to you today. And here's what you're going to do. One, write the words of that psalm in the space here and embellish with a decorative border. Or two, copy and paste the words onto a word illustrating app on your phone and create an image that you can share. Some of you would prefer to not hand draw, but maybe you want to make an app on your phone. Go for it. I've given you the space here. There you go. Woo, that was really spread out. I'll give you the space there to do that. Really simple to do a word search. I've actually done that here ahead of time for you. Just go over to Bible Gateway and hit name, just type in name and hit enter, and then isolate it by clicking along here into Psalms. Okay. I will just say this, Psalm 33 is one of my absolute favorites. Let me read to you what it says. I'm going to read this in context. Psalm 33, and it goes like this. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. One of my absolute favorite Psalms. All right. Then back over here to this lesson, I've got a closing for you. I created worship playlists called The Name of Jesus on my YouTube and Spotify channels. So go over to my channels and search, or just click here if you've got the PDF open. These are clickable links. You can see that the cursor turns into a pointy finger. So click here for YouTube or Spotify, and when you open the document up as a PDF, you'll be able to do that. And I've called them up for you right here already. So over on my Jennifer Richmond YouTube page, I've got a playlist called The Name of Jesus. Just I dropped in a bunch of great worship songs that center on the power of the name of Jesus. And over on Spotify, I did the same thing. So you've got a playlist there as well. All right, there you go. Have fun with that. I want to see what you're doing. And as always, use those hashtags so we can find our work together. LMCC Women and Dwelling Richly Bible Study. And then, of course, we've been having fun using the hashtag of I Love Stick Figures. All right. And then today, I need a hashtag. What am I going to do? I've been thinking for autumn. It'd be fun to go with an autumn hair color change. So you tell me what color you think I should go for, and if you think I should, drop it in the comments below and help me come up with a good hashtag about whether or not I should change my hair color. And I don't know, hashtag Jennifer's hair color. I don't know. That's lame. Just being silly. But have fun. I hope to see you soon. It was great to be with this in this lesson with you. I look forward to seeing you live and in person on November 5th. There are six. Yes. Tuesday, the first Tuesday and Wednesday of November, we'll be back together at La Mirada Christian Church for Bible study. All right. Great time being with you today. As always, know that you are loved and prayed for, and I look forward to being with you again in person real soon. Bye-bye for now.